Hello, and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy, here with Pat, and today is Friday, May 28th, 2021.
Hey, we're going to call it Friday, the Friday Wine DeFi Daily, because both Amy and I have gotten together some glasses of wine to enjoy this fine Friday afternoon.
It's a long weekend.
Crypto's down. Bitcoin off $3,800 to 35K. You know what? Hey, I might not be. I hope I'm not the only person that like kind of enjoys when Bitcoin is down, because it's just more chances to buy the dip. ETH off 400 to 237. That's a relative low in recent history here. Ripple off another 10 cents to 80-70 cents. I have some real questions about Ripple. I'm not going to lie. I have some real questions about what happened over the last month and a half. Maybe I won't get into them. I mean, at the end of the day, like Ripple themselves has a policy of doing buybacks on their coins. When you see what was happening to the Ripple price, I just can't imagine a world where there's not something going on with their buyback scheme that they do. Bitcoin Cash off 100 to 677. That's pretty rough. Dash off 30 to 177. Where's Doge? Let me find. You know what? I don't keep Doge on my list of coins to watch, so I never actually announced Doge, but I really should. Doge off 8.5% to 30 cents, which is still spectacular. Good for Doge.
The DeFi Daily is sponsored by Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform. You can do DeFi ROI calculations, gain loss reporting, crypto accounting, invoicing, and more, all in one place. Make sure to check out Bitwave at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform.
DeFi ROI and DeFi historic balances are the newest thing that we've added recently, which would be interesting to this audience. So we do that for corporates, for funds, for businesses. But the ability to kind of go back in time, see what your DeFi holdings were on, you know, January 1st, and then calculate your ROI and see how that changes with a real ROI, as opposed to like the fake thing that they put on the website of your favorite DeFi protocol.
Okay, up first, PayPal will let customers withdraw crypto.
Yeah, this is huge. I was not expecting this. It's not particularly often that a story genuinely takes me by surprise. So like some of the other stories we're doing today amused me, delighted me. You know, the story of the big hack two days ago, it made me sad, but it was not surprising. This story took me by surprise because there is a lot of infrastructure. As any exchange can tell you, there's a lot of infrastructure that goes into place with being able to actually push out crypto, to send out crypto. And it's not just like for PayPal, they have to be in a situation where they are going to be letting people on-ramp into crypto and then sending it away. There are compliance issues there. There are AML, KYC. There are tax issues. It is a very, very broad set of problems that they are bumping into. So I, you know, good for PayPal. It's pretty cool for them to do this. Like it's great for the industry. This, a lot more people will get on-ramp to crypto because of this.
Yeah, very exciting. Next, NVIDIA reports record earnings, claims it's hard to determine the impact of crypto miners.
Yeah, super hard to determine. it's super funny here because it's like, imagine you're a video game company. Like imagine you're Ubisoft and you end up as a company I should have thought of this analogy before. Like you're Ubisoft, you start Assassin's Creed, but you end up as a company designing knives or like designing those assassin blades, and that becomes your primary business. I mean, that's kind of NVIDIA. Like they got into this to make chips to put graphics on screens for computers. And I think that, you know, they say it's hard to determine because literally they would have to restate restatements of their business. They would have to change their S. There's all these like implications for a publicly traded company when their core business changes. And so NVIDIA is in this situation that is, I find delightful. And like, this is the story that I said would delight me, was that like they're in this super interesting situation where their core business depends on cryptocurrency. And they did not mean to get there. They did not set out to get there. They did not want to get there. They were super happy making ray tracing, like getting into ray tracing for dudes playing video games and dudes and gals playing video games. They did not want to be beholden to Elon Musk tweeting, but that is where they are. I mean, at the end of the day, like they are seriously one of the risks. If they went public today, a risk that they would have to identify in their public filing is that Elon Musk could tweet that Ethereum is a terrible coin. And then, you know, they happen to be a really, you know, Ethereum is a GPU. There's a few other GPU kind of miners, but, you know, they would suddenly see their stock dip. So they are doing everything in their power possible to not scare their investors that they are tightly coupled with the cryptocurrency industry. But boy, have I got news for you, NVIDIA. Like we are all now coupled together our fates. not unlike Bilbo, Frodo, and the Ring. NVIDIA, Vitalik, and Elon are now coupled. And I guess in that scenario, I'm going to say Elon is either Gollum or Sauron. Sauron.
Yeah.
Gollum. Well, Sauron was good. Yeah.
Gollum, because he changes his mind much.
Very, very, very
bipolar on whether Bitcoin is great.
And kind of like, beady eyes.
Oh, now we're just getting mean. But it does seem like NVIDIA is playing down the demand.
But they have to, because it's just like, if they came out and said, if they came out and said 80% of our revenue is dependent on cryptocurrency miners, it would scare the crap out of the markets. Like, they literally can't do that. They have to say this, which is delightful.
So NFT volume has more than tripled recently.
So normally I don't have a ton of we don't cover a lot of NFT, not because we don't find it interesting, but because I don't feel like I have a lot to offer. Like, honestly, like when Amy and I talk about this, Amy and I actually both have pretty good art backgrounds. We spend a lot of time around art. Amy was an art historian and some minors and stuff. I love art. So we like the art aspect of NFTs, but I still can't poke a stick at an NFT and decide if I like it as an investment strategy or not. But all that being said, we work with Bitwave. We work with some awesome people who are doing NFT stuff, who are like really pushing the edge. We're working with some companies that are doing like generative art around NFTs, starting to look at what it means to do an NFT gallery, like a physical presence for NFTs. Amazing stuff. Makes me super happy. The whole reason I wanted to cover this today, though, was to say one thing. It was to talk about one story, which I did not tell Amy about. I'm going off script. which was the big news today in the NFT world, I believe, which is that the Hide Your Wife, Hide Your Kids gentleman sold his what's his name Anton Dodson sold an NFT for that. For I believe $170,000.
That is a great song.
It's just amazing.
A great clip.
Oh my God, just amazing. And I feel like it's as relevant today as it was 20 years ago or whatever it was that came out. So so this is all I wanted to talk about today. I do not claim to understand this. I do not claim to get to like be it. I own a couple of NFTs. It's not like a major part of my portfolio. I love art, but hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your NFTs.
All right. And up next, all right, so has DeFi jumped the shark? Shark Tank's Kevin O'Leary is launching a DeFi investment company.
Amy, you were supposed to say Shark Tank's Kevin O'Leary has launched a DeFi investment. Has DeFi jumped the shark? And then I did that. Let's see, we had a whole plan, and there was going to be top hats and things like that, but that's okay. The Shark Tank guys, I think are, just like to be super honest, like if you really twisted my arm to analyze the whole thing with Mark Cuban, Kevin O'Leary, these guys, like, the high level for all these guys is they are kind of narcissistic egomaniacs, like, to not put too fine a point on it, like to be a successful businessman and then feel like you had to go on TV and then feel like you had to like bash people on TV and be assholes. And like, if you ever watched Shark Tank, like, oh my God, these guys piss me off so much.
Pat does hate Shark Tank.
I hate Shark Tank. So if you're doing that, you're doing it because you are an egotistical narcissistic maniac.
So when they
see Elon getting more narcissistic, egotistical attention thrown on him, that's the draw. Like, that's the moth to flame there, is seeing someone else get more pseudo business god attention, I guess. I don't even know what you call it. So at the end of the day, I actually think that these guys are beginning to see DeFi as a real game changer. I don't think without DeFi, Mark Cuban would have been this big on crypto. If it was just still Bitcoin and it was like Bitcoin versus Bitcoin Cash and that argument is still going on, I don't think Mark Cuban would have cared. DeFi was the determining factor here. DeFi was the thing that is changing absolutely everything. So you know, hey, if so but I will say I'll take everything back if Kevin O'Leary wants, if his new DeFi fund wants to use Bitwave to track their DeFi ROI and taxes. So, hey, I take back everything mean I ever said. Can I do that?
As you should. All right. Well, that'll do it for today. Thanks so much, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily, and have a great long weekend.
All right. Happy Memorial Day, or just day that Americans shut up on Monday if you're in the rest of the world, which is equally good. Take care, everybody.